Hey guys, this is Seven with the Hard Time Strong Man podcast, cheering up a bear class of man. And today, I'm all on my lonesome today. Six had some technical difficulties, so it's just me, but that's all right. We'll get through it. Today, we are continuing on our Battle Drills mini series with Battle Drills 7 through 9. Battle Drill 7, enter a trench to secure a foothold. Battle Drill 8, conduct the initial breach of a mine wire obstacle. And Battle Drill 9, react to indirect fire. So, Battle Drill 7, enter a trench to secure a foothold. We didn't practice this one too much. When we trained this, it was a, pretty big picture type operation, pretty big picture type, training that we did. So it's, pretty hard and big hard to get all those pieces in play when you're trying to train a game, the range opened up and everything else. But what we did practice was, a lot of, very focused skills, the actual rolling into the trench, the support, the movement up to the trench, as well as, just some little SOPs, per our squads, per our platoon. So the guys that were actually the first guys going into the trench would have, pulse with flags attached to them on their, on the back of their plate carrier, so that they could raise that up and you could actually follow along if you're outside the trench and see how everybody was progressing. But big picture stuff going off of TC3-21.76 Ranger Handbook and FM3-21.8, the Infantry Platoon Squad, Battle Drill 7. So your cue, friendlies, you receive fire from an enemy trench or your aura to secure a foothold in a trench. So actions to contact. So when you receive contact, return fire, of course. Seek cover, establish fire superiority, establish your security, and set up a salute report to leadership. So salute report your size, activity, location, uniform, time, equipment, everything that you're able to perceive so that leadership has more information to work off of. Your leader evaluates the situation via your salute report, sit reps he receives, his personal observation, reconnaissance. He's going to be looking for the number of enemies or volume of fire, if they have any vehicles, and if they're employing IDF at a minimum. He's looking for that. And then he's going to conduct a quick recon of enemy flanks. He's going to locate supporting positions, obstacles to the assault, or obstacles that can provide cover and concealment. He's determining if the enemy force is inferior or superior, analyzing reports from personnel. And he's going to decide to enter the trench and select an entry point. After this, we're selecting a cover and conceal route to the entry point, directing everybody to secure the rear or the near side of the entry point and reduce the obstacle to gain a foothold. So we are using cover and concealment to move as close to that point as we can, getting rid of anything that's in the way. A lot of the time it's going to be wire obstacles, things of that nature, anything that's going to slow you down because you're in those interconnected fields of fire. And then the remaining men will provide observation and supporting fires. So here we are in the execution phase. So we're using SOSRA, which is suppress, obscure, secure, reduce, and assault to set the conditions for our assault. So suppress and obscure. So leaders direct the base of fire elements, or IDF elements if you have those, to cover the maneuvering element. So you are setting your dudes for, supporting fire, make sure that they can move freely. You're targeting the most valuable assets the enemy has, so your big guns, your, T4s, whatever they have available, and trying to give your guys as clear a shot to get maneuvering as you can. And you're also going to, your friendlies are going to be obscuring the maneuvering element with smoke if you have that available. So if you do have any smoke on them, or if you have IDF elements available, then they can shoot smoke down just to obscure your, your line of assault where you're actually moving. Secure and reduce. So your leader is going to designate the entry point and directs IDF elements, if available, to isolate the objective. If you don't have IDF available, then you're using your highest casualty producing weapons to isolate that area. So we have a couple pictures from the FM that we're going to post up for you guys, but you're imagining a trench like we're seeing in, you know, Russia or Ukraine, where it's going to be, you know, staggered zigzag. And at those junctions, a lot of time they're going to have, you know, their machine guns, and you're just trying to isolate that area. You're trying to isolate a block where your guys can go in and do their thing. You're utilizing the base fire elements, covering concealment, and movement techniques. So you're, you know, your buddy team movements, your bounding, I'm up, he's easy, I'm down. And your friendlies are going to move to the last covered and concealed position short of the entry point. You're going to get as close as you possibly can without exposing yourself. Your base fire is going to shift fire and continue to suppress adjacent enemy positions. So ramping up the fire, docking guns, all that good stuff. And the maneuver element suppresses the entry point and positions the assault team at the entry point. So these guys are very exposed at this point. So, you know, there is no lull in the shooting. You know, you are ramping up the intensity, you're ramping up the, you know, the aggression, so that you're trying to keep, you know, enemies' heads down. You're trying to eliminate as many enemies as you can while these guys are doing their thing. Assault. So two friendlies, two buddies, position themselves against the edge of the trench to roll left and right of the entry point to clear the far side of the obstacle and establish a foothold. So literally, these guys are going to be on their back as close to the edge of the trench as they can get. They'll tap each other's helmet, you know, 1, 2, 3, however they decide to cue, and then they're going to roll in, land on a knee, and clear their areas. So they're engaging all positively ID'd or likely enemy positions, scanning the trench for concealed positions. Friendlies outside the trench provide security outside of the trench. So the guys that aren't, you know, aren't in the trench are covering, making sure that nobody's going to hop in behind them. So your friendlies or the dudes that are first in the trench are going to clear enough room for the team or squad that's behind them or to the first trench junction, and they're going to yell clear. And this is where I was talking about with the, you know, with the flyer. You have an SOP where you have some sort of marker indicator of the dudes in the trench. That's when you get to a junction, you know that they have cleared to a point. You can jump in and, you know, and assist. Your leader marks the entry point per your SOP. So that's, you know, Wolftail, Camelite, whatever. Then sends the next team to increase the size of the foothold, yelling next team in, and your dudes moving in the trench and secure the assigned area. Leader reports to higher that a foothold is secure. Request additional men as necessary to continue clearing the trench. All your leaders do the thing. They inspect their men, get their place reports, ace reports, send the rest up to higher, reorganize, refit, and continue on mission.
This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their fire starters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time, they're basically dummy proof.
And help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. And now a word from our newest sponsor, Granite Rifle Group. Granite Rifle Group is a precision rifle company owned and operated by a USMC veteran. You've probably heard him on our show.
Granite offers turnkey rifle solutions built around your field use, with plug-and-play upgrades available to tailor your rifle for your specific needs. GRG offers simple rifle kits or complete custom builds available to suit every need, from the weekend target shooter or hunter to the long-range precision rifleman.
Granite Rifle Group is all about putting high-quality precision rifles into the hands of Americans to extend the reach of the American rifleman. And When you use the code STRONGMEN at checkout, you'll get 6.9% off your order. Nice.
Nice. Check them out at graniterifelgroup.com or find them on Instagram at granite_rifle_group_LLC. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
Beldrill 8, conduct the initial breach of a mind wire obstacle. So your cue, friendlies encounter a mind wire obstacle that prevents the element from moving. The obstacle cannot be bypassed. The enemy begins engaging friendlies from the far side of the obstacle. So your actions to contact, you're going to return fire, seek cover, establish fire superiority, and establish local security. Friendlies in contact send up a salute report to leadership. Leadership uses sit reps and personal reconnaissance to evaluate and develop the situation by looking for number of enemy personnel, volume of fire, vehicles present, or the employment of IDF. He conducts a quick recon of the enemy's flanks, locates obstacles to the assault or obstacles that provide cover and concealment, determines if the enemy force is inferior or superior, and analyzes reports from personnel. Friendlies in contact support the movement of another team or squad to the breach point. So suppressing enemy weapons, obscuring with smoke, maintaining fire superiority, conserving ammunition, all the stuff we should, you know, be doing naturally. Leadership indicates the breach point, route to that point, you know, through cover and concealment, enemy positions to suppress, and gives instructions for shifting and lifting fire. Your leader then designates the breach and assault teams or squads. The base fire squad moves to the breach point and establishes a base of fire. Leader leads the breach and assault squad along the covered and concealed position. So just taking a quick break here, guys. As you can see, a lot of similarities to the prior battle drill. A lot of this is the same. You know, a lot of this is no-brainer stuff. This is loud. This is fires all the time because you're having to support and, you know, big army stuff, you're supporting, you know, your entire platoon with these base of fires. You know, I'm not sure what the context you'll be using this will be, how many people you'll have, but the fires do not stop. You know, this is ongoing the whole time because people are having to move, people are having to set into positions, your leadership, you know, your designated breach points, designating teams. This doesn't happen automatically, right? This takes time. So as leaders, you know, skirting from one team to another, the stuff, you know, you need to be keeping people's heads down. You're going after these, you know, these positions because their enemies dug in. You know, if you are facing a mine wire obstacle, if you are facing a trench, anything like this, your enemy has had time to set in, time to get all of their sectors, time to build up their positions. So you are not in a great way, and this is designed to trip you up. This is designed to keep there for as long as possible and, you know, and wear you down and kill you. So just wanted to throw that out there. And if available, your IDF will adjust fire as ordered by the leader to support the breach and assault teams. So supporting by fire, supporting by smoke, anything that they have available. They're trying to isolate these areas and just keep everybody's heads down. Your breach squad will execute actions to breach the obstacle. So what that looks like, your leader designates the breach point. Your team A supports the movement of team B to the breach point. So you know, simple stuff, simple movement techniques, move or cover me while I move, I got you covered, all that same basic stuff. Your base fire team continues suppressing and isolating the breach point. Leader with the breach team moves to the breach point using cover and concealment. Your team will employ smoke grenades to obscure the breach point. Base fire element shifts fires off of the breach point. We don't want to be shooting our own guys. Your team leader plus one friendly position or plus one friendly will position themselves at one flank of the breach point to provide close in security. The two other guys of the breaching team will probe for mines and cut the wire obstacle, preferably using a Bangalore if you have that available, and they're marking the path as they move. So you don't have guys going off the path and, you know, tripping a mine if it's there. You want everybody moving through the same area. Now, once the obstacle is breached, the close in security team moves to the far side of the obstacle using cover and concealment, using that same path that the breach team moved through, and they signal leadership when in position and ready for support. At that time, your base fire team leader moves his team up and through the breach point using the same cover and concealed route as the breach team. Two men stay behind to lead others through the cleared area if necessary. So if you have guys that are falling in behind you, you're going to leave a couple of guys there to direct them through. So once again, you don't have guys blowing up on you. Lear reports his progress, posts guys to direct others through the breach if necessary. Your breach team widens the breach for vehicles to follow if necessary. So if you have a bunch of dudes, if you have vehicles, then you're going to widen that out so you have less room for error, because this initial breach isn't very wide. So Bangalore, I don't remember how wide it makes for an opening, but it is not good enough for a vehicle. So if you have vehicles following along, then you're gonna have to open that path up for them. Especially if you guys remember our episodes with Critter, Critter 1371. If the enemy actually uses the Constantine wire, actually sets up wire correctly, it is an absolute monster. So it's going to take time to get through there, especially if they're, you know, throwing mines in with that wire. It's a whole mess. Your leader will send up the sit rep up to hire Orr's breach team to move through the obstacle after they've wind out the obstacle if necessary. And he's going to point two guides to direct others through the breach if necessary. So in the FM, this is in the context of, you know, if you have a company falling behind you, then, you know, obviously they're not close enough to see everything that's going on or nowhere to move. So you have dudes that will stay back to help them out. And moving on to Battle Drill 9, react to indirect fire. So your cue, anybody yells incoming or around impacts nearby, and you'll know it. I mean, you'll know before that thing even hits. I mean, I can't replicate the whistle, but it has a whistle to it when it gets low that is just, yeah, you're not gonna miss it. So you hear or see it, or anybody yells incoming, that is your cue to immediately hit the dirt. So assume the prone position, just kiss that sweet ground as close as you can, or move to an immediately available cover during the initial impacts. After that, your leader is going to order you and your buddies to move to a designated rally point by giving distance and direction. So move to that wood line over there, and you guys are going to beat it immediately after those rounds are done. Friendly's going to move rapidly in the distance and direction of the designated rally point. So this doesn't say anything about, you know, doing 3 to 5 second rushes or, you know, doing bounding or anything like that. I was told that when we were training it, but, you know, yeah, I'm just going to run. I mean, if someone's calling fires in on you, that, I mean, they can delete a grid square, man. It sucks. So be anywhere but there is essentially all this Baldrill is saying. And then if everybody's alive and you get to the rally point, then your leader's going to contact higher, and you're going to continue on the mission. So pretty quick class today, guys. Baldrill 7 through 9. Didn't have 6 with us, so didn't have a lot of banter. But, you know, like we've been saying for the last couple of episodes, this is basic stuff. It builds off of each other. So you should be able to start, you know, finishing my sentences for me. But this is basic stuff, but it's all good stuff to know. And it is really nailing down the principles of what we're talking about, right? So when we just did Baldrill 9, react to indirect fire, you are breaking contact, right? So you're not doing the bounty as much, but you are leaving with Baldrill 7 and 8. You are establishing your base fire, you're getting your fire superiority, you're obscuring whatever area you're trying to work in, you're trying to isolate whatever area you're working in, you're doing your thing, and then you're pushing through. You're trying to do that as quickly and as thoroughly as you can, you know, with however many guys that you have available. So pretty cool stuff to know. We will post, of course, everything onto our Patreon, free for everybody. So check out the Patreon, check out the link in our description and our bio, everything. That's where we have our Patreon, our Discord, everything. But all of the supporting documentation is going to be there. I'll put links over to our references, the, you know, the Ranger Handbook, Infantry Platoon Squad, the show notes that we have today, any images that we have available. So that'll all be there. Until next time, guys, we are the Hard Time Strongman Podcast, cheering a bear class. But until next time, guys, we are the Hard Time Strongman Podcast, cheering up a bear class of man. Stay in the fight.
Check out our Discord, where we talk about all of the topics that we talk about in our conversations, but in deep dive format. We have a lot of members on there of varying skill sets, of varying proficiencies, all talking about all these topics, sharing their experiences. So join today and help us expand our knowledge base.
And check out our Patreon. Our Patreon, outside of just backing up all of our episodes for when we eventually get canceled, our patrons get access to our exclusive episodes, our pre-shows, our post-shows, our little tidbits here and there that we aren't really supposed to talk about. We're also opening up all of these exclusive episodes for people to individually purchase. So you don't have to get tied into a tier in order to get all that content. You can dip your toes in a little bit, decide you like it, then come and join us on that. We're having exclusive conversations, and along with the Discord, we are just building that community, building that skill set, that mastery, these proficiencies. And this, outside of our sponsor, is what's keeping the lights on and keeping all of this information, all these classes rolling for you guys. So make sure to check out our Patreon. And one last thing, guys, the world is better with you in it. If you're feeling suicidal or if you're in crisis, dial 988 or reach out at 988lifeline.org to get help. Someone's always on the line. So if you need a lifeline, remember 988. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.